the canons were quite explicit on that, were they not?
I don't think they were at that time.
Oh, weren't they?
It had to do with an interest. What we did was we applied the federal court rule on rehearing. It came up and it was like 3-2, something like that. Ridiculous.
Oh, what happened was there are three people that disqualified themselves. All were felt by Zwerdling. Remember A.L. Zwerdling?
Oh, yeah, Abe, yeah.
Yeah, Abe Zwerdling thought that he would have been the winner if you three who did not vote.
Yeah.
So it came out, actually, 3-2, and you had like Dethmer's car and somebody else,
Kelly.
And carried the day.
Yeah.
And he lost.
Yeah.
And so he hit the ceiling and made a lot of waves.
And we had a rehearing of that, didn't we?
You went back and changed the rule.
Yeah.
The way it happened, as I recall, and you correct me if I'm wrong, was that he asked for a rehearing and it was denied, but then the court, on its own motion, changed its decans that applied to Michigan.
Yeah.
Then on sua sponte, I think, or Souris leading the charge, you entertained a rehearing without on your own motion, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened. Do you remember what happened to the
No, I don't. I think we had a new vote on it, but the final results ought to be in the report, so I'm sure it is. But I remember discussing the rule change. It was the way we had regarded it, the three of us, was too severe. It would virtually block you then from deciding cases in which major corporations listed with millions and millions of shares and had
288 million outside General Motors.
Was that what it was?
I think so. You had eight or whatever it was. Somewhere.
So we looked for guidance. I think we found it in the federal rules about if a stock is listed on a stock exchange, some percentage, very small percentage, if you have less than that, you're qualified to participate in the decision, affecting the fortunes, if you will, of that corporation.
I wanted to bring up the matter of the selection process on the Supreme Court, which was come under criticism for many years and for many people. And at one time, Gene Black got pretty shrill, in my words, about this. And he not only criticized way the court was constituted, the makeup of the manner of choosing selection of Supreme Court justices, but he also criticized the manner of choosing them within the court, a Chief Justice. What are your thoughts on this subject?
Well, I have done a couple of 180 degree turns on this one over my 40 years as a lawyer, starting out believing devoutly in the federal system, having become acquainted with federal judges over the years, who were appointed, of course, and then having become acquainted with state judges very often, who were elected not only here, but I mean in most other places around the country. And I guess my thinking was for a long time that both systems produced very good judges and very poor judges. And I came out kind of a Jeffersonian in resolution of it, say, well, if you follow the philosophy of Jefferson, as much as you can, you make people in high public office accountable to the voters. I hope final thoughts on it run something like this. I think that a fusion of the two probably produces the best system. And I don't particularly go for the Missouri Appointment Commission, which is a standard by which many of these are based, simply because I think the intense politics would be played out in the commission, say, a different way within the commission itself. There being no better way I can think of to do it, I would leave it up to the governor to make the appointments. I like the California system, I'll say that. Let the governor make the appointments, the major courts. And then to cut down on the campaign budgets and cut down on the politics, leave it to the people, as in the California system, to vote every 6 or 8 years on whether they want to retain the judge. I like the thought of having judges who wield so much power in our system. Courtesy of Margaret Pomeroy versus Madison.